You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. Yes, what can I say? Bogota. We've all been strafed by this horrible bug going through the city, and that's no lie, because I'm here with my very special guest on this episode 180 of Columbia Corning with Susie Q, or better known, Susie Hoban. Either way could be better known. She's the chocolate expert who we had on the show more than 100 episodes ago.
Wow, so, was it really?
Yeah, it really was a long time ago. You were, in fact, I think in the first batch of interviews. I remember came to your home in the Torres del Parque, right?
That's right.
And so we are here today not only to talk chocolate, but we'll talk coffee too, because we've got the coffee lady in Bogota, Karen Atman, or Flavors of Bogota, on the show too. We had you on a little bit more recently, but yes. It's still a while ago. I mean, still a long time ago. So we're going to be talking about two of my favorite vices, and they're legal vices, which is good, coffee and chocolate. And Colombia is, well, of course, we know that Colombia is really well known for its coffee. Of course, it's been one of the major exports around the world for so many years, and has brought Colombia's image forward in the way that we want. But chocolate, cacao, is something I would say that is, well, I think perhaps in the public imagination, something relatively new. I mean, in the public imagination, cacao's been here for a while, I think, but well, let's see how we can do it. So we're going to talk about what these both wonderful guests on this show have to offer us in the way of cacao and coffees. Let's start with Susie. I mean, you're doing now what is known as the Colombian Chocolate Club.
I am indeed.
So tell us about the Chocolate Club, because last time we spoke, you were, of course, the chocolate expert de rigueur, and we were talking about what you did and what you do at the University of La Sabana, mm-hmm. out there on the outskirts of Bogota. You do a chocolate course, a chocolate degree.
A course, okay. It's a subject as part of the gastronomy undergraduate degree. And it's called El Mundo del Chocolate, the World of Chocolate.
The World of Chocolate.
And I also teach another course called El Mundo del Café, the World of Coffee. So coffee is a close second when it comes to...
So you're giving Karen a run for her money.
She's certainly the expert in the room today.
Okay. So Karen's a young upstart. You're the chocolate expert. Very good. Very good. So now we're here in Metcalu, which is a little, let's say, boutique-style grocery store, kind of like an exclusive grocery store in the Plaza Portugal, Parque Portugal, here in Chapinero. Very nice, just around the corner from the Book Hotel, in this exciting area of Chapinero where the new restaurants and I would say this new wave of Colombian cuisine. It's very cool. I like it because it's pushing out the zona here, the gastronomy zone, because we've got a little bit stayed up there, but this area around the 60s. Now, so you've set up here, you've got this, I would say, it looks a bit like my old boarding school with the wooden paneled walls at the back, and I expect my old headmaster to come out and try and beat me or something. It does look a bit like
that's Susie's role,
beat me into
eat your chocolate.
Understanding chocolate. Now tell us a little bit about this. What I mean, we've got various chocolate, well, cacao examples here on the table, and of course Karen can jump in because you're always in these tours and you're doing these flavors and everything. But so you offer this, let's say, this Colombian Chocolate Club. What does it consist of? Let's talk about this.
So primarily I'm offering chocolate tastings, mm-hmm. Of Colombian chocolate, and then also chocolate making classes. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing classes and tastings since I arrived, which was nearly 6 years ago. But 6 years ago, the offerings, if you wanted to buy dark chocolate in Bogota, you could buy Lindt, which is a Swiss brand. Mm-hmm. Or you could buy Santander, which is manufactured by one of the two large chocolate manufacturers in Bogota. That sound you just heard is Richard eating chocolate.
I'm munching away in the background. Go for it.
And so I would offer some Santander, I would offer some chocolate that was only available to me as a chocolatier, Curvature, it's chocolate that's made for the industry. There were a few different regions represented in Curvature, but that was not available to consumers at the time. And then I would offer international chocolates because there was not enough Colombian chocolate to actually do a full tasting. So the Colombian Chocolate Club is a company that couldn't have existed 6 years ago when I first arrived. So I started just a bit over 2 months ago, almost 2 months ago. And it's something I can do now because we're at a really exciting point with Colombian cacao and Colombian chocolate. Colombia's always had some very, very high quality cacao, but the world hasn't known anything about it because until very recently, Colombia imported more cacao than it exported. And that was usually to meet demand for drinking chocolate.
Hot chocolate with cheese in it.
Yes, exactly. My husband has, you know, almost every morning with his breakfast. So we've had this really high-quality cacao that goes into a beverage with lots of sugar and milk, and so the great quality that we've been producing was really lost with those other ingredients. But in the last 18 months, I can count 10 new chocolate brands in Colombia making chocolate from Colombian cacao, representing...
Very delicious.
Incredible, right?
Yes, they are incredible.
And representing really diverse regions of Colombia. And Colombia, as we know, is a mega diverse country. It is so biodiverse. So it stands to reason that chocolate, which is made from cacao, which is an agricultural product, is going to represent all of those different regions. Cacao, like coffee and wine, exhibits terroir, that is a taste of place. It represents the type of cacao that's being grown, the soil it's being grown in, the altitude, how much sun it gets, the other crops that are being planted alongside it. So we now have an opportunity with all these amazing new high-quality chocolate brands to do a virtual tour of Colombia through its chocolate. So that's what I'm offering here in what I like to describe as a cozy space.
Not a schoolroom.
In the colors, yes.
Well, it just brings back nightmares. No. It's a very nice place, and it's a very nice little store. So I do recommend, if people are in the area, please come by Metcalu. And I will, at one stage, when I fully recovered from this horrible, horrible flu that's going around, that which you are afflicted right now, I will come, and I would like to participate. But I did participate recently, and I spoke about it on one show a few weeks ago. I did go on the coffee tour.
Yes.
But with Karen now, so we're talking about specialty foods and specialty pleasure foods, because non-essential except coffee.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that coffee and chocolate are essential.
But no woman would agree.
Yeah. Essential to my mental and emotional.
Well, if I don't have a liter of coffee each morning, I can't function. But so true.
And a bar of chocolate.
Bar of chocolate. as I'm at my desk, procrastinating. But I went on your tour, and you started this, how long ago, the coffee tour?
A little over a year ago.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's been going on for a while now.
And you choose certain specialty coffee shops in the sort of Chapinero, Zona Hay area, which, again, years ago, there weren't. It's been a change in let's say... the fashion for coffee, or the I don't know. I mean, but you've seen a market for it.
Definitely, and even just in the year and a half, 2 years that I've really been preparing for this tour, I've seen a big change in the area. Definitely, that area of Chapinero is the coffee area, and I'm sure it's going to explode with a lot more coffee shops. When I started, it was hard to find enough coffee shops within walking an easy walking distance to go to. Now I can't decide sometimes which ones to take my guests to.
It's on your whim.
Because there's a lot more beautiful places with excellent coffees.
And it's also, like Susie was mentioning, it's like a virtual geography tour of Colombia. You're going through these coffees and saying, this one's from Huila, or this one's from Tolima, or Arauca, or...
We just had a great one from Bolívar.
From Bolívar?
Because Bolívar is being, you know, a coffee region. It's not a coffee region.
No.
But we had a great coffee.
And whereabouts in Bolívar do they make this one?
You know, I don't remember the exact area. It is on a jaguar reserve. So that's a cool story.
That's Ato Viejo, oh, which is near El Banco Magdalena.
Okay.
There's a Jaguar reserve there.
Yeah, I've not been.
That's amazing. They're dodging Jaguars as they're
picking coffee and looking over their shoulder. So I don't know how they manage that. I have to find it out.
The fertilizer of the Jaguar excrement that makes it different.
Well, the coffee was really good.
It was really good.
Try it.
And what makes it, I mean, okay, so I know that all my listeners are coffee and chocolate connoisseurs, or at least we all chomp it and slurp it. But what makes it, let's say, in your mind, a good quality coffee? I love coffee, but I'm not going to drink, and I'm not going to mention them because I'll get in trouble, but they, let's say traditional Colombian brands.
Okay, we won't mention too many specific brands, but just in general, what makes a coffee specialty coffee is simply when it's grown and processed using strict quality controls. Mm-hmm. So that begins with cultivation, goes on through the processing, roasting, and in the case of coffee, brewing. You can say the same thing about chocolate.
So for chocolate, it's made from high quality varieties. So that would be Trinitario and Criollo varieties of cacao. That has been very carefully cultivated. And then the post-harvest process is really important. So fermentation, both coffee and chocolate are fermented foods. The fermentation process is really important. And then that it's properly dried. And then, of course, that it is lovingly coaxed into a chocolate bar that represents that cacao. So rather than aiming for something that is standard year in, year out, it is something that changes, that is representative of this natural product that that is its raw material.
So things would, I mean, things would change with rainfall, sunlight, in both crops, right?
Absolutely.
With coffee shade, I don't know what the cacao shade has to do with it. And even they can be grown together. I've been to coffee growing regions where there's cacao also.
Cacao offering the shade to the coffee?
Well,
they're about the same height.
Yeah, there will be other plants that would give shade.
How long does it take? I hate to bring this specific question out. How long does it take when you've got a sapling of coffee to actually to bear fruit, or for a sapling of cacao to bear fruit? So if I'm thinking of opening up, starting to plant my own my own crops, how long would it take?
It's a long time.
Yeah, I don't know about cacao, but coffee, you're looking at 3 to 5 years.
Yeah,
exactly the same for cacao. Yeah,
you can't speed it up.
No, so within,
there's no
within
terminator
a couple of years you might be getting fruit, but the quality of the fruit is not good enough to be producing high quality products. So it's really 3 years at a minimum before you even have fruit that, that is going to produce the seeds that you can sell, those cacao beans. 5 years when that actually starts producing really high quality.
So for those of you out there, you're going to be running at a loss for about 3 years.
Yeah, so it's actually... Most cacao farms, so cacao actually needs shade. It's a shade-loving crop. It cannot exist in full sunlight. So most cacao farmers will grow at least plantains.
Yeah.
Plantains are great because you can plant it in within about 9 months, you've got some fruit to sell. But most cacao, in fact, in Colombia is grown on farms of the average size 5 hectares. And a lot of cacao is grown on what's known as a finca tradicional, a traditional farm, which can grow up to 10 different crops. So at certain altitudes, you can grow both cacao and coffee, and they'll be growing citrus. They might also be raising chickens and cultivating mushrooms, growing papaya.
Almost subsistence farming. You get by until this happens, and well, coffee, different.
Most coffee growers, it is just subsistence farming because they have such small plots of land. It's barely getting what a family needs.
So you guys are doing really well, though. I mean, you guys are doing really well. We've got the Colombian Chocolate Club, www.colombianchocolateclub.com, and you've got flavorsofbogota.com, spelt the American way.
Yes.
That's with the O, not no U there. They're doing very well in the coffee tour. Who are the people who come on these? What is the, generally speaking, the number one nationality as we close down this first segment of the show?
Well, probably because Flavors of Bogota is spelled with an O and has no U in it. I do get a lot of Americans, but I can tell you, people from all around the world are interested in Colombian coffee. So I have had people from obscure countries that I've never heard of.
Come on.
That obscure. So people from I have heard of the countries, but you don't hear about a lot, like Latvia.
Oh, right, nice.
Latvia, yeah. Slovenia, Somalia.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yes, as well, you know, Italians, Germans love coffee, love the tour. I've had people from France.
Yeah.
So I don't get that many British on the tour.
Tea drinkers.
But I'm getting more and more, especially the ones that live here.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, my family should really learn about Colombian coffee. And I convert them to being coffee lovers a lot of times because I choose the coffee specifically for what their tastes are.
Huh.
And so they can be very pleased that they're finding a coffee that actually has tea-like qualities to it.
You find a tea-like coffee.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. And Susie, do you have a specific or is it all
so,
over?
So as I mentioned, we just launched a couple of months ago, so we're still getting the word out. So I would say for tourists, predominantly Americans so far, and then a lot of foreigners living in Bogota who you know, are looking for new experiences and looking to learn something else about the country. And as we mentioned, there's not a lot known about Colombian cacao and chocolate. So that's particularly of interest.
And especially when people visit Bogota, one of the things is, I mean, I'm sure you go through this when you have people visit, what do we do with them? Sorry, that sounds bad. But what activities can we have that are going to give people a real feel of what Bogota is, a feel of what Colombia is, especially if they can't travel around? And so to do these kinds of tastings is really great because the story is how this affects Colombians. But then you get to taste fun things too.
Yeah, I know. I think it's really cool, and I'm gonna leave it on that note. But we're gonna pick up on that note because I think there's something very interesting to say there. But we are talking to Karen Atman on the flavors of Bogota and the coffee lady in Bogota, coffee tour, and to Susie Q or Susie Hoban. That's a ColombianChocolateClub.com, and we're talking all about these wonderful, wonderful products here in Colombia. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break to talk further about your favorite drink and your favorite food because that's the truth. Anyway, this is episode 180. I'm Richard McCall. Don't go away. Thank you for listening. And we're back. This is Colombia Calling, episode 180, here at the headquarters of the Colombian Chocolate Club in the lovely boutique, sort of local store, but with exclusive goods and accessible goods. So it's called Metcalu here on the Parque Portugal in Chapinero. So check it out when you're going to one of the cool restaurants around here, one of the many cool restaurants. I have to say, I went to Mesa Franca the other day, which is just on the right. Really good Bloody Mary, I'll say. Made by a Polish barman, which I found very interesting as well. Half Polish, half English, grew up just a few streets away from me in London. And they made the Bloody Mary with smoked tomatoes. So there you go. That had a different flavor to it. And of course, the well-known Salvo Patria and other great restaurants in this area. So that Minimal. And of course, just go for a great empanada, which is not fried at the Castaña, which I'm so happy things are not fried. Anyway, so we're talking about quality foods and we're talking about quality products. And we're here with Susie Q, Susie Hoban of the Colombian Chocolate Club, and Karen Atman of Flavors of Bogota. American spelling, the coffee lady here in Bogota. And they both offer this opportunity to get involved in something, well, truly Colombian, not only the coffee and the cacao, the chocolate, but also the products that are now becoming more and more, let's say, accessible on the national market. Of course, those of you who are overseas will know of specialty chocolates and specialty coffee. But here in Colombia, it really was something that's been slow to wake, and for obvious reasons. But what you were talking about at the end of that last segment, Karen, is like, you know, what you do with family, for example, or friends who come to visit. You guys have now been at the forefront of offering things to tourists. It is an additional thing, and I'll put it, you know, I've been here since 2007 and I've had to write lots of tourist stuff, and that was a promise to my dad that I wouldn't do politics back in the day, because he said, and it was quoted in the Gabba book as well, it's like, if you want to end up headless in a ditch, was write about politics. Now I write about politics, well, you know, rest in peace my father, as he said, because he passed away many years ago now, and so I can do politics, and I guess he just looks over my shoulder, probably not kindly. But anyway, so we talk about this and we talk about the tourism and
it's been so long and I've been to so many meetings. It's like, oh, Bogota's the most visited place in Colombia, when it was out of necessity. It was the hub for flights, or, you know, you couldn't get a joining flight the same day, so you'd have to stay in a hotel. And the Colombian Tourism Board would ramp up their numbers and say, look how many tourists, but you're like, well, how much they're actually spending and how long are they actually spending here? And if you weren't like a backpacker going out to nightclubs and trying to pick up Colombian girls or something like that, or other nefarious activities, you really weren't staying that long in Bogota. You know, it's raining today, it's cold, we've all been sick. Sometimes Bogota can be a bit overwhelming. It's a big city, contaminated, but it's got its charm. And first we were always offering sort of, let's say the gold museum, and people would then go to the Museo Botero on the same day as well, the Colección Botero. And then maybe a few years later we had Crisp, who's been on the show, talking about the graffiti tour, which has been very popular. And then what? So you had sort of 2.5 to 3 days, but now with the restaurant revolution, that's really increased it. But you guys, I mean, people are now signing up their families who come to visit. Go on the chocolate tasting tour, go on the coffee tasting tour. So you guys are pushing this forwards. Now, I want to sort of ask, and people ask me all the time, and when I'm at the Casa Maria in Mompox, why didn't a Colombian open this place? Well, why didn't Colombians do what you're doing? I don't know. It's like, what do you know? What could you answer to that one? It's a hard one. But what would you say?
I would say with my coffee shop tour, just nobody's doing that. Really, I mean, at the time that I started it, it's not an idea. It's not a concept to go to different coffee shops and taste coffees. Mm. I think it's just because people would normally have the idea, well, I can do that alone.
Yeah.
But when people come and visit Colombia, they can't do it alone and get out of it what an insider can give them. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, I can introduce them to the baristas, to the coffee shop owners. I tell them the story behind it. I teach them how to taste coffee, which is really different than just enjoying a cup of coffee. It's a whole process. So those are things that just really aren't... It's not really a concept anywhere in the world. It's just kind of an idea that I got for the tours. As far as Colombians teaching about coffee, maybe the problem is that sometimes when something's in your backyard, you don't realize mm-hmm. the full value of it. Of course, when you talk coffee to Colombians love coffee. It's part of their culture. You ask any Colombian about coffee and they're just going to be poetic about it. But
nice.
Sometimes they don't think, oh, I could teach this to foreigners because mm-hmm. this is something wonderful we have. Since I started my coffee shop tours, there are Colombians that have started coffee shop tours.
Oh, really?
Which is great.
Okay.
And I'm very happy about that. So maybe it'll be something that will grow and more people will start to offer coffee shop tours. There's always room for more people working in the industry.
I always say here that the pie is big enough for everyone. And that's always been my statement in Mompox. The pie is big enough. I've got 11 rooms. Really?
Yes, yes.
There's, you know, how many people are coming to Bogota? How many people can you take on a tour? And how many tourists do you want to do a week? I mean, really?
There's different concepts, yeah. Different ways to approach it, which is just fine.
What would you say, Susie?
I think with chocolate, we're still facing a situation where Colombians don't appreciate what they have.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still this perception that chocolate made in other countries, specifically Belgium and France and Switzerland, is of a better quality than chocolate that is made here, which is absolutely not true. We are producing international standard chocolate, exceptionally tasting chocolate. We're winning international awards for our chocolate. So I think it actually takes a foreigner's view of what Colombia is producing to appreciate what Colombia is producing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, speaking of the pie being big enough, what's really exciting in chocolate at the moment is that there are all of these new brands. They're making high-quality dark chocolates mm-hmm. and also milk chocolates with a really high percentage of cacao, which is very different to what Colombians are accustomed to eating. But most of them are building their business by selling their chocolates here in Colombia, not exporting yet. Everyone has their eye on exporting, but at the moment they are building sales by selling to Colombians. So there is a growing appreciation
mm-hmm.
for fine dark chocolate here in Colombia. And there definitely is that attitude within the very young fine chocolate sector that We can build a market here. We don't need to export yet, that there is so much potential that is as yet untapped in Colombia. And what's really amazing, the big difference that I'm seeing between the Colombian industry, chocolate industry, and my experience overseas is it's very secretive. Chocolate makers don't want to share information with anybody. Everybody's kind of, you know, coveting their formulas and their machines and everything that they do. And yet here, it's so open. So I visited a couple of chocolate manufacturing facilities, and I've been welcomed, and they've invited my students in to come and have a look. They're quite happy to talk about their processes, where they get their machinery, how they learned to make chocolate. And there are many companies who are manufacturing for other brands, which is also something that rarely happens in Europe. Or if it does, it's like, well, I will put all of my energy into my brand, and then, you know, if I have a bit of time, then all right, I'll whip up some chocolate for you. But all of their, you know, their skill and energy and love goes into their own brand, and the other brands are really second class, whereas that's not the case. Here.
Well, let's hope that continues. Long may that continue.
Yeah.
So there's no Willy Wonka syndrome here, really.
No.
It's like, that's excellent. And we've got some chocolate here before us, and I've got to describe it. I mean, there's from the when we talk about coffee and we talk about chocolate here in cacao, it is a geography lesson in the Colombian regions. I mean, we've got chocolate from Arauca, as I said before, Putumayo. These are places where people don't visit. So it's put, and Colombians more so don't visit. I think foreigners are more open to visiting. Again, obvious reasons behind that. But you look at it and you're like, this is actually putting the place on the map. That a Colombian can come in and see, you know, cacao, chocolate produced in Putumayo is like, oh, wow, it's not just, you know, indigenous tribes down there. It's not just this. It's not just guerrilla or something. There are things happening that are incredibly positive. And what I like the most is the design. I mean, there's a real love into these designs, and you can see that everyone's putting real thought into the design of their packaging. This is from Caquetá, and it's got, so I guess these geometric designs that have something to do with the region or the chocolate, and it's really nice. These are attractive things that you want to pick up, and I think you see that too as well with now the new coffee packaging and the regions. Yes. And the regions you're getting, like, you mentioned earlier from Bolívar, which we don't think of as producing chocolate. We know Bolívar. Everybody knows Cartagena, the capital of Bolívar and stuff. But there's coffee in Arauca, but there's new crops coming up and coming through that have always traditionally been coffee growing areas but have not sold as much. So it's sort of Tolima type places that we don't think about so much, right?
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on, both as far as a shift in where there's more coffee production, mm-hmm. also in the varieties that are being grown. Now there's a shift towards trying to produce those exotic varieties in the effort to get more, a higher price for mm-hmm. the coffees. So now you're seeing more like pink bourbon and geisha mm-hmm. and varieties with odd sounding names like SL28.
It's
a very good coffee. So
sounds like a silo.
It's not a sexy name, but it's a very good coffee.
It's like a public school, PS21.
So these are varieties that are not varieties that are traditionally been cultivated here in Colombia, and they're starting to do that with the idea of these special varieties. If they can get better prices for them, which mm-hmm. they do, then it's really going to benefit everybody along the chain, and you know, some of those benefits will be for the farmers too.
And basically what we're most talking about here are the small producers, right?
Yes.
Small cacao, small coffee producers. We're not talking about the huge conglomerates. These are really crops that benefit the local communities. I mean, this is what we can see.
Well, really with coffee, and I would imagine it's really similar with cacao, 95% of the coffee that's produced is done on very small farms. Mm-hmm. These are families. It's a family. These are family businesses. So when you buy these products, you are benefiting directly the families. It's not large corporations like you see in other countries.
Yeah, it's quite a relief, this, but you know, it's nice to see, because it's important that this, let's say, this economy is of course benefiting from our taste. And I think, you know, we just look at places like San Francisco, Austin, London, places. There is a market for this. People are prepared to pay the right prices, which benefit these smallholders in these far-off regions that, for reasons obvious or not obvious, have been overlooked, let's say, by the state in Colombia. Let's not get too political in this, but that's my my dad's watching over my shoulder right now. No, but it's the truth. I mean, you know, the Colombian government has had a very long history of not looking out for the regions particularly, and now to see this, it's again, it's new generations coming through in Colombia. That's how I see this. Now let's talk about this. I mean, coffee has been a major crop for a long time, and of course you've been in also, but cacao is a big crop, and it's, of course, it's been earmarked for many years as the replacement crop for illicit crops. Here, the coca plant, the plant that where cocaine is created. But there are problems with the prices, of course. It's very volatile, like the coffee market, but it's not as established as the coffee market. And of course, I mean, this has got to be a fact. You know, we've got President Santos saying, oh, cacao, 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 and giving, he gave, I know he gave, there were certain sort of financial loopholes for people who then replaced their crops with cacao. But you're never going to make as much, let's say, from cacao as coca. I mean, that's the truth.
It is a sad truth. It is obviously a legal crop, which
has a lot going for it.
Exactly. farmers of coca are, you know, caught between narco traffickers and the authorities, so it's a very precarious position for them. And it's a crop that brings a lot of crime and violence, obviously, which cacao doesn't. And so there's been a lot of... And cacao, fortunately, loves the same growing conditions as coca. So it is very easy... at least climatically, to replace coca with cacao. So, there was a lot of... We're sort of halfway through a 10-year plan for Colombia to become a major exporter of cacao. And there is the Cacao for Peace project. So that's a major program funded by USAID, the UN Department of Drugs and Crime, US Department of Agriculture, the Colombian government, and a number of Colombian agencies... who are working in a number of ways. One of them is to replace coca with cacao. Another is in education. So these farmers who are new to growing cacao need to learn how to cultivate cacao, and especially how to ferment and dry the cacao, because those steps are absolutely crucial to maintaining the quality. And then providing the equipment. So you need fermentation stations and drying beds. And then more importantly, connecting these farmers who are producing a really high-quality product to cacao buyers who pay well above the market price. And what's really important is that these buyers sign long-term contracts. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, what we've seen that's putting all of these great plans at risk is a very sudden drop in the price of cacao on the international market for a number of reasons. One, Ivory Coast, which is the world's largest producer of cacao, was believed that their crop was going to be diminishing year on year, and unfortunately for cacao farmers worldwide, they had a bumper crop this year, so there is a surplus of cacao. And then also there was an assumption that the growing chocolate consumption in countries like India and China was going to put a lot of pressure on the world supply of cacao. And while that is growing at incredible speeds, it's still a very, very small percentage of the world's consumption of chocolate. So it's not affecting the market the way that it was expected. So when you are consuming really high quality chocolate, and also when you're consuming specialty coffee, you're buying a product where the raw material has been traded outside of the commodities market. It's a separate market. The specialty coffee market, or the fine cacao, it's either called fine flavor cacao or cacao fino de aroma in Spanish. And so often, so these brands that we were tasting today, I know for a fact that they are paying well over double the market price at the moment. So, and they have long-term contracts, so they will continue to pay those prices, even as the price of cacao, if it continues to fall, they will continue to pay above market prices. So these farmers are protected from the volatility of the commodities market, and both coffee and cacao are among the most volatile commodities in the world. So that's why it's really important for us, you know, it's not just about our enjoyment of these products, it's also about supporting these farmers, and so that they're not at the mercy of this, you know, of a system that they have no control over. A farmer growing cacao or coffee in Colombia can't control how much cacao is coming out of the Ivory Coast. I mean, these things are completely out of their hands. Weather, you know, climatic conditions, diseases that might hit their farms, all of this is completely out of their hands. But if we can encourage them to produce a really high quality product, and there are buyers for those products, which there are, and there are consumers, which is us, willing to pay, you know, a little extra for those products, then those farmers are protected.
You are so on message. Well done. I'm almost exhausted.
I'm sounding like a politician. No, I'm very,
but it was really good though. It was really, really, really important.
And that's why both cacao and coffee, it's a message of hope for the future of Colombia. For those reasons, the farmers can get those higher prices. And pretty much everything that Susie commented about cacao, you could talk about with coffee too. And so, specialty coffee brings higher prices to the farmers, everybody else. That brings hope, hope of a better lifestyle in the future. It plays a part with future peace that we hope to continue to see in the country, and that will continue to improve. So it's a beautiful thing. You're not just buying a bar of delicious chocolate, you're not just buying a bag of good coffee. You're also helping create the future for a country.
This is the truth. This is the truth. And I, so, you know, I urge you out there to, when you go into your specialty stores or even the big stores, you know, seek out these independent producers that are getting on the shelves. To, you know, look for them. And not all of them are exported. You know, a lot of it is for national consumption. But you can find that in not just Colombian, but all over the world. You really are making a difference, even with your little 2 cents there. Now, I can't end this show without mentioning Karen's latest project, and I'm very proud indeed, because it's a book called Permission to Slurp. Now, tell us a little bit. Give us your feed on this. Well, obviously it came about from your, you know, the coffee tour and your love for coffee. But who is this book directed at, and where can we get it? Where can my listeners get it?
So, Permission to Slurp is a book mainly directed either towards people that are just starting to learn about specialty coffee, or people that are just now interested in specialty coffee in Colombia. And so it's good for everybody. It's I tried to make it really fun.
It is fun.
And engaging. Yeah. Because books on coffee can be a bit dry. And this is it's a quick read. It's a great thing for if you're coming on a plane to Bogota, you can just read it on the way down. It's really a quick and entertaining read. And so it's just for everybody who wants to visit, or people that are living here that want to find out more.
And we can get that on Amazon for our Kindle books and etc.
Right now, yes, and I'm working on getting a paperback book up on Amazon, and then I will be doing a print run here in Colombia. So
nice. And Permission to Chomp, when does that come out? The chocolate one.
Sometime in the future.
There will be one.
But can I just say, so I, as I mentioned, coffee is another of my passions, as well as closely after chocolate, and I also teach in coffee. And Karen's book is so great because I think even more so than chocolate, the specialty coffee world can be so intimidating. It definitely has a hipster element that makes it seem even less approachable. And when you start researching this in your own coffee forums, the language that they use is just impenetrable. And
but if you don't have a beard, you're just not welcome.
So Karen's book is so great because it's just really plain language. It's not condescending. It's not assuming that you already know this stuff, but then it's not treating you like an idiot if you don't. It's just a really accessible introduction to specialty coffee in really plain English. And I'm actually going to set chapters for my students.
You're going to drive up the sale run there. Well, actually, you'll know you've made it because then they'll be pirating it.
Yeah.
So when you've got pirated copies available on the street downtown Bogota, you know you've made it.
You're selling it at the traffic lights.
It'll be alongside the I Was
Pablo Escobar's mistress book. And then you know, and the Harry Potters, of course. Yeah, yeah. That's really cool. No, and I read it too, and it's chattier. So I like, there's a familiarity to it, which of course it will be in your benefit to the coffee tour. But of course, then everybody feels like they know you too, so they won't want to pay you. Because oh. That's what happens when they think, oh no, but Karen, she's just a nice person. I know who she is. Yeah. But it's excellent news. So do check that out. Permission to Slurp. It's on Amazon. It's online. You can find it. Yeah, it will come up. And so check out, please, Flavors of Bogota website. You can book the coffee tour on there too, flavorsofbogota.com. Very easy. It'll be up on the Facebook page and on Twitter, etc. And of course, the Colombian Chocolate Club. It's the colombianchocolateclub.com. But of course, Colombian is spelled C-O-L-O, people. So I know I've got my accent and etc. It sounds like Colombian, and I got a troll mentioning that. So thank you to that man out there with Colombian Chocolate Club. There's two really great activities to get involved in if you are coming to Bogota. And of course, if you live here and you have friends coming to visit and you want to farm them out for a day, send them on there. These are not,
yes, they're welcome to come.
These are not expensive trips. And perfect, you can pay online too, so yes. You're not parting with your hard-earned cash in your pocket. So this has been episode 180, and I know you've enjoyed it because it's been fun. It's been fun, this dynamic of chocolate and coffee here. And so a big thank you to Susie Q, Susie Hoban, and of course Karen Atman. You are most welcome. You're most welcome, and I know I can't promise there'll be a huge surge in visits to your websites, but over time people will see and stuff. So thank you everyone out there for listening and for your emails this week and for any suggestions that you've sent in. This has been episode 180 of Colombia Calling. I've been Richard McColl, and this has been fun. So continue to listen. We'll be back next week with someone else interesting on the show. Bye-bye.